Man, I'm excited to be here tonight, and what an awesome camp and an awesome opportunity. And man, I'm going to tell you what, we're going to finish this thing out, so don't go anywhere. Man, come back. There's a great message that's coming here because it's really important. We just heard some awesome messages. Man, about an army. About living waters that flow from the throne of God. Man, I couldn't wait for Davis to get there to Revelation 22. Man, the source of life is God Himself. And my passage is Ezekiel chapter 34. We're not going to go there yet, but it's about sheep. So it turns out I get to put you to bed tonight. Brothers and sisters, it's important that we understand the messages of the Scripture. We're intent on those things. Man, you listen to the two messages we just heard out of Ezekiel. What was something that was said in there? God says, I will be their God, and they will be my people. Man, you are the people of God. Wow, how exciting is that? Man, if that doesn't get you jacked up, check your pulse. Actually, if that doesn't get you jacked up, you better check to see if you have the Spirit. Man, this is important stuff. We got incredible things to do. But I want to start off tonight in Matthew chapter 9. And before we do that, I'm going to have my son Luke Ferguson come down and pray for us. Luke made the decision to be obedient to God on May 3rd this year, and really excited for him. He's a first follower. And if you want to know what that is, come see me later. I'll tell you what that is. But he's a guy that always has a comment and is always willing to help somebody. Man, he's a great guy. So Luke, will you start us off with a word of prayer?
All right, let's pray. Dear God, I just want to thank you for this great, wonderful camp that we've had so far. And I just also want to thank you for everyone who is able to come here and for the great message so far. And just how encouraging it has been for all of us. And I just want to encourage us to take this stuff to heart and to really pay attention and apply it into our lives. And just for us to keep growing strong for you and to bring this message to others. And in Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, son. Matthew 9. And Nolan read this the other night. I want to start here. Matthew 9. Verse 35. And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Man, can you say 2020? Man, we got people. I got told this story and about a kid who was stuck inside because of the coronavirus. And was playing a video game and he threw a controller over his shoulder and it broke the monitor. So he took his money and he bought another monitor. He broke again. He killed himself. He was like 13 or 14 years old. Man, we live in a world where people are killing themselves because they have no hope. Man, we got such an incredible message to bring. There, Jesus is the answer, and He is awesome, and He really wants to help people. Man, do we see people the way that Jesus sees them? Man, they are distressed and downcast, a people without hope. Man, 2020, if that is not a perfect description of this year, I don't know what is. Man, how's your hope in the economy? Man, it's like one train wreck after the next. What's the answer? Man, Jesus Christ has a kingdom that is eternal. And this is a message of the kingdom. When we get into Ezekiel chapter 34, there's a few things we're going to talk about out of Ezekiel 34. I'm going to try and keep it moving because it's going to get dark. those things that we're going to talk about are shepherds, sheeps. Yep, I said sheeps. I'll explain that in a minute. And a kingdom. That pasture land on the mountains. The shepherds. And it's important to understand that we're really going to take a look at one of those shepherds tonight. I don't have time to develop all of Ezekiel chapter 34. You go on your own time, you read the first 10 verses of it, there's a description of the bad shepherds. And there are bad shepherds out there who will lead the sheep astray. We're going to talk tonight about the good shepherd that is Jesus our King. We're going to talk about those sheeps. And the reason I'm using the word sheeps is because I've got two group of plural sheep. And so I didn't know how else to say sheeps without letting us know that we have two groups of multiples. So we've got sheeps. So you're just going to have to pardon me. And I by no means claim to be near as sophisticated as Plato and all those other guys. I don't think sheeps is a made up word. I think it, well, maybe I just elevated it a little bit tonight. And then the kingdom. The pasture land, the providence, the provision of God. And He is going to take His people, as we see, and He is going to plant them securely on His mountain. So that they will be sustained and have nourishment for life eternal. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So let's dive in. Ezekiel chapter 34. While you're turning there, I thought I'd share something with you. Kind of a tragedy and just a tragedy. And to really illustrate the lack of hope that those around us may have. Depending which website you look at, somewhere between 17 and 20 U.S. military veterans commit suicide every day. Every day. And one of the overwhelming causes that they have is when they come out of the military, you know what they don't have anymore? They don't have a band of brothers. They don't have anybody that they belong to. And they have no purpose. And they kill themselves because of that lack of hope, not belonging to anything, and no purpose. I want you to think about that tonight when we talk about some things out of Ezekiel 34, because I think when we take a look at God's plan, that good shepherd, the flock of sheep that make up the kingdom of God, and where they dwell, that you'll find that it actually answers those questions and provides people those things. Man, we got to give hope that's out there. I'm going to challenge you tonight right now. Stop talking about the coronavirus and start talking about hope in Christ Jesus. Because you can't know about the coronavirus anyway because you don't know the truth on purpose. But the Word of God illustrates the kingdom of God and the hope that's within it so we can speak it with confidence. All right, enough about that. All right. Ezekiel 34, the breakdown. I already mentioned earlier, verses 1 through 10 are bad shepherds. 11 through 16, seeking the sheep, rescuing them, and bringing them into a land of promise. 17 to 22, the judgment between sheep, fat and lean, good and bad. If we have time, we'll talk some about them. 23 to 24, setting of the good shepherd David. If you guys were paying attention to the message you had just heard, it actually just talked about David, didn't it? Didn't it talk about him being a shepherd of a flock and a king? Man, it's like there's a consistent message that God has that He's like, hey, fellas, I'm over here. Listen to me. Pay attention. Man, there's something really cool that's going to happen, but you got to be looking for it or you'll miss it. Pay attention. 25 through 29, the covenant of peace, security, freedom, provision in the land of promise. And 30 to 31, as He ends out the chapter, He is talking about, you are my people, my sheep. I am your God. Great message. All right, let's dive in here. Ezekiel chapter 34. And because I'm up here and you're there, I get to go through this how I want to. So we're going to start in verse 23. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. So God, in his infinite wisdom, knows that if he's going to have sheep, he better have a shepherd. Because if you have sheep with no shepherd, they get in trouble. We actually don't understand this where we live currently in the West because we have a thing called fences. But if we didn't have fences, we would need shepherds. Fences are mechanical shepherds in Montana. I don't know about you guys. I drove over here. We were coming by Miles City, and just east of it, I looked off to my right, and there was a field of sheep. You know what I didn't see? A shepherd. You know why? Because there's fences. But God isn't interested in us being in bounds. He's interested in us being free, so he gives us a shepherd to help us. And God knows, hey, I got to have this shepherd, and that shepherd needs to be first. I've got to place that shepherd so that the sheep have someone to follow. Now, I thought about setting a trap for you. I decided against it because it would be real easy for me to get up here, talk about 2020 and say, are sheep bad in reference to people? And what would you have said if you didn't know Ezekiel 34 was my passage? You would have said, somebody said it, they're bad, right? But really, sheep aren't bad. Sheep follow. But if they don't listen to and follow the right thing, they're going to do bad. There's a lot of misinformation that goes out there, and you watch some of the sheep follow those things. We're like, oh, they're a bunch of idiots. And therefore, we can make a statement, well, all sheep are bad. Actually, that's not true. If sheep were bad, God would never refer to his people as sheep, because God actually created them in Christ Jesus as his workmanship for good works. So they're not bad, they're good, if they're listening to the right thing and following Jesus. I thought about setting a little trap for you there, because I want to challenge your thinking. Because it's easy to get sucked into the mantra of the world around us and fall prey to their worlds and say sheep are bad, when Jesus says, follow me. Be sheep. Follow me. Because one of the attributes of sheep is they follow. What do you think happens when sheep don't follow the good shepherd? Now we're in the bad territory. The shepherd is placed. Let's go to John chapter 10. We'll talk a little bit more about the good shepherd. I'm not going to have time to develop everything tonight. I'm going to encourage you to do some of your own study as well. I'm going to get ready to read something here in John 10 about the good shepherd. And I want you to think what I just said. I'm going to challenge you to do some of your own study. Are you listening for the voice of the shepherd? Is your ear inclined to hear the voice of the shepherd? John chapter 10, let's begin reading verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Let's skip down. Well, yeah, let's just keep reading. All right, I'll cut something else so we can keep reading. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Have you guys noticed? There's a lot of times people don't understand what Jesus is saying to them in the scripture. First century problem, right? Twenty-first century problem. People don't know what Jesus is saying to them. Let's keep reading. We'll see if we can figure this out. Verse 7. Jesus therefore said to them again, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. By the way, if you want to go back on your own time and check out Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 10, when it talks about the bad shepherds, you might be able to apply some of these thieves and robbers talk to those guys. God actually uses a lot of parallel passage, puts a lot of stuff in there, because he understands that when we do things multiple times by repetition, we actually start to get it. So that's what he's working on here. Verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Hopefully you guys were awake a little bit ago, because Davis just got done talking about something called life. Remember? Man, why are certain people so interested in Mars? Not because there's life there, but because supposedly there's water there, right? Man, it's about life. Man, Jesus came that we might have life, right? This good shepherd. Oh, I got ahead of myself. We didn't get there yet. Verse 11. Here we are. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He was a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. Man, if you listen to some things going on here, what do we got? We got God prophetically bringing some stuff together, and then God bringing stuff together. One flock, one shepherd, and here is how those sheep are part of that flock: by hearing the voice of the shepherd. David Renner got a preach at a Badlands family camp. And man, I appreciate David. He's a student of the Word. And his message was about hearing. And not just hearing, like it rattles around through the parts of the ear that God made, and it vibrates, and your mind translates those into sound. But hearing to understand. Hearing so that you get what the message is. Not the mechanics of it, but the understanding of it. Those are the sheep that are going to follow Jesus. Those that hear his voice. Sheep are supposed to follow. That's the message there. When Jesus started his ministry, and man, he gets done being tempted. Man, there's been so much stuff that's been brought out this weekend, man. That's awesome. Man, when he gets done being tempted and he starts his ministry in Matthew and he goes along, comes by a couple of fishermen. What's he say? Follow me. Follow me. Does he say anything different today? Man, we got this problem sometimes that we think things are just for the apostles. When he says, follow me, you know who he's talking to? Me. Follow me. Talking to you. Follow me. Man, do you hear the words of the Lord? Follow me. See, sometimes these sheep can start to run their own program a little bit. That might be one of those groups of sheep that we're talking about tonight. The end of Joshua's life. He makes a plea. Makes a plea for the people. And he says, you know, I'm paraphrasing. There's other gods out there. But they're not the ones that brought you through the wilderness. They're not the ones that delivered you from the power of Egypt through the Red Sea. They're not the ones that provided manna for you and quail to eat and and your sandals didn't wear out, and you had victory over your enemies. They're not the ones, but there is a God. And he says this statement, choose this day whom you will serve. Not tomorrow, not next week, not when it's convenient, not when you get through the current challenge of this life, this day. Choose this day who you will serve. Man, that is a message that is for the flock of Israel. Which God are you going to serve? And if you're not going to serve the living God, don't worry. Satan will provide one for you to follow. Who are you going to serve? By the way, you take a look at the other gods. They do not sacrifice themselves for man. Only God sacrifices for man first. That good shepherd, what did he do? Laid down his life for his sheep. Man, that was a huge payment that was paid. Back to Ezekiel chapter 34. We're going to pick it up in verse 11. Those bad shepherds have caused some problems. Verse 11, it says, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for this herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment." Wow, what a picture. Man, you think about being exiled in the land and there's a world force that is against you. And what's God say? Round them up. I'm going to bring my people back. And it's going to be better than it's ever been before. You can't compare how great it is going to be compared to what it was. This isn't a restoration of former glory. This is an elevation to exceedingly abundantly beyond all that someone can ask or think. That's the glory that the nation of Israel, the flock, is to have in Jesus, their shepherd king. Man, what a powerful picture for us to grab onto. Powerful picture. I think old Kirk Heinbach should have to preach about sheep next time. We got to hear about them cows all the time. You understand that God just laid forth his plan for the distressed and the downcast. Man, I'm going to take you out of your terrible situation. I'm going to bring you into my kingdom where I dwell. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. And it's going to be incredible. That's a message of hope, isn't it? In one day this year, they added 10% to our national debt, the United States of America. in one day. You got hope in that? It was part of a little conversation yesterday or the day before. And do you know that the laws of economics are laws? Just like gravity. In case you're wondering, what goes up must come down. You going to give anybody in hope in their 401k? You going to give anybody hope in justice in this land? And search your country. It doesn't matter. They're the same. Run by the agency of man. By people that are held captive to do Satan's will. Man, where's the real hope? Man, I know this is going to sound bad, but I'm going to say it anyway. In some ways, I'm really glad that things are finally getting to where they're getting so that people stop looking to physical nations for hope. Man, I'm thankful for the freedom that we have to come here. I am. Which kingdom is my kingdom? And that's a question that each one of us has to answer individually. What's our kingdom? We got one that the best that we can hope for is the lesser of two evils on the first Tuesday in November. Is that real hope? Okay. I'm gonna give you something here. Let's say Trump is elected for another 4 years. Then what? Then what? Man, where's the hope? Man, it's in King Jesus, the benevolent King who gave of himself first. Man, this should be an exciting message for us. Hey, we're part of that kingdom. You know, God said, I want you. Wow. Man, are we soaking this in? What a great message that is. So, we still have some daylight. We're going to keep talking. Verse 17. Actually, we need to start with the end of verse 16. Well, we'll just start with all 16. I will seek and save the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Is it too slight a thing for you that you should feed in the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pastures? Or that you should drink of the clear waters, that you must foul the rest with your feet. And as for my flock, they must eat what you tread down with your feet, and they must drink what you foul with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and with shoulder, and thrust the weak with your horns, until you have scattered them abroad. There's some bullying going on in the church. Knock it off. That's what he's saying. Hey, you got a bad attitude? Stop fouling it for other people. Quit polluting the land. Quit polluting the water. Get your attitude right with the Lord Jesus and understand exactly what he has done for you. And knock it off. That's what God just said here. Man, I'm sick and tired of it, he said. Why are you ruining it for other people? You got a bad attitude, repent. That's what he said. Man, isn't it amazing how some people can get something so good, and no matter how good it is, it's bad. They got to find something to complain about it. Man, thank you for that free horse, but I just don't like chestnut. Thank you for that free car, but now I got to pay the taxes on it. Thank you for that message about hope in Jesus Christ, but I just don't like you. Thank you that we got to have peaks, but I got to listen to some guy from North Dakota. Hey, man, this is a message from the scripture, isn't it? Do you understand that the sheep affect the sheep for good or for bad? It is a herd mentality that is there by design. God actually built us to be fellowship. Why do you know that sheep are fellowshipping animals? Like when you see sheep, you know what you usually see? Sheep, plural. They're together. In fact, it's actually very dangerous for them to not be with the flock on multiple reasons. I mean, we have the ability to help each other. Are you going to use your little sheep hooves to build up or tear down? Huh? Hey, you don't like being in the living waters? Don't pollute the stream for others. You know, sometimes God gives us these really positive messages and mixes in some warnings also. I love to focus on the positive. Man, I do. And you could go to a brand new pickup truck or get in a pickup truck and man, it looks great and everything else. And you can focus just on the positives. If you ain't got no gas, you ain't going nowhere. That little light comes on your dash to tell you something. My wife and I bought a new-to-us vehicle years ago, and it was a Ford Explorer. I can't believe I'm trashing my brand like that, but a Ford Explorer, and we're driving down the road, and this light comes on the dash that says, check gauges. That seems serious to me. I pulled over. I checked every gauge except for one, and I couldn't find out what was wrong with it. You know what's the matter with it? It was low on gas. They've since repented and corrected that problem. Now they actually put that little gas can light up there to help you out. You know what the worst part is? I have my wife, and she never told me about that. Yeah. She enjoyed that one a little bit. I was like, did you know that? She's like, oh, yeah. I was like, okay. It was going to be a great story. Yeah. Man, we can't ignore the warning lights either, can we? You know, there's a little warning there. Man, I want to encourage you today. Man, take that message of hope. Revel in the message of hope. Man, your neighbor's sheep might not have everything figured out just yet. It's okay. God actually has a plan to help bring them along too. He does. That's a really cool thing. This is his flock. He cares. All right. Oh yeah, I want to make this point too. See, sometimes if we're not careful, we can get a little confused on whose voice we actually hear and who we actually belong to. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there's some division that's going on there because some people don't realize that the good shepherd is Jesus. And they start trying to give some credit to some other guys. And they start ranking themselves by who they think is better because of who they're a disciple of, not realizing that they should all be disciples of Jesus. I want us to make sure that we understand something, that I'm not a disciple of Jay Wilson or Mark Miller or Luke Wilson, Kirk Reinbaugh, disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you take that message seriously. Because if you're a disciple of someone other than Jesus, the last time I checked, none of them died for you. And it will not yield the fruit that it's intended to yield by being a disciple of Jesus. Now, I'm thankful for the work that they've done. Very thankful. All of those guys have meant a lot to me throughout the years and different times in my life. But that's not who I'm a disciple of. A disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not mistake that. Let's not miss that. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go there either. But in Romans chapter 12, there's a great section of scripture that talks about how, as sheep, we're supposed to behave towards one another. I'm going to sum it up with one part of it that goes like this. Give preference to one another in honor. And if you do that, you'll get a whole lot of other stuff right. You can read the rest of that passage in Romans chapter 12 there when you're doing some of your own research. How do you behave towards other sheep? Man, let's be aware of those things. Message for us. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. What do good sheep look like? I'm going to tell you, when it comes to physical sheep and what's good or bad, I'm assuming that quality number one is they have to be alive. That to me would seem to make sense, that a live sheep would have more value than a dead sheep, unless it's just right now is dinner time, that where a dead sheep might have a slight advantage. But overall, man, they have to be alive. Other than that, I don't know very much about sheep. So I think it's important for us to, if we're going to understand that we should be good sheep, and hopefully I've borne that out. If I haven't, I apologize. I've tried to. But what does a good sheep look like? Matthew chapter 22, and this is just part of it. Verse 37. When asked the question on what is the greatest commandment in the law, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Law doesn't matter. Didn't Jesus say that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish the law? In Romans chapter 8, doesn't it talk about the Christian in verse 4? That when we, and putting some things together that come after that, but when we walk by the Spirit, by faith in Christ, and not by the flesh, that we'll actually fulfill the righteousness, the requirement of the law in us? Man, it starts with love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, everything you got. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. By the way, you can't do one of those and not do the other one. They are not separable. You can't pull them apart. You can't say, "I love God, but man, my neighbor, whew, that guy, what a jerk, drives a Chevy. Come on." You guys, I feel like we're falling asleep a little bit here, man. Okay, but man, how important is that? John chapter 13, let's take a look at this as well. I like to bring this part out to you. John 13, verse 34, says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Man, what happens if you're so busy loving God and so busy loving your neighbor that you forget to love one another? Does that look like good sheep? Man, I've said it many times. I'm not sure I've ever said it in this form before, but I'm telling you that when it comes to my family, it is the church. That's my family. There's some people that I'm related to by blood. I'm way closer to the church then. I'm telling you, man. That's the absolute truth of it. The scripture tells me to do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. The household of the faith. Doesn't that sound like family a little bit? Man, you guys are my family. You are. And no, you don't get to pick your brother. Man, it's important, man. Our love for one another. Man, how important is that? You going to go make disciples and bring them in to meet the rest of the flock? Man, and the icicles are hanging off the door. The closing prayer is said. The people race through the door to go home and have roast preacher for lunch. Hey, man, love one another as I have loved you. How much did Jesus love you? Maybe just a little bit. Man, that's a love we're to have one another. Man, this is a message. This is what people are supposed to be understanding. When through the eyes of the New Testament, they look back at the Old Testament and they see these things. And the New Testament gives life to these things. Of these examples in the Old Testament. It's what they're supposed to see. Hey, man. How are we doing on this? Man, where's the love for the brethren? The love for God? The love for your neighbor? Man, I'm telling you. You don't think it's challenging for me to put a mask on? Because I know I can be a little bit of an emotional guy sometimes. But I would tell you this. I'm also pretty rooted in fact. You know what I haven't seen yet? One shred of empirical evidence on exactly the effectiveness of a mask. But you know what I am going to do? Maybe for someone else's sake, put that bad boy on. That's my decision to make. You get to make your own about that. But what I'm telling you is, you looking out for your neighbor? By the way, that girl that works at the gas station, you think she came up with the mask rule? Come on, you guys are from Montana. You know who did. Sits in Helena, I think. All right. Enough about that stuff. Oh, by the way, one more thing. Who are we listening to? What are we inclining our ear towards? I'm going to challenge you today, brothers. I really want you to think about this. If you take the last 3 months of your life and you compare how much time you spent studying the Word of God and how much time you spent studying the coronavirus, which one would win in your life? I got a news flash for you here. Coronavirus or not, unless Jesus comes again, you all die. And me too. Does it matter what the death rate of the coronavirus is? Yeah, all got stage 4 something. That was funny. Come on, guys. Man. Stage 4 pride. I'm using that, man. That went right in the tool bag, man. That was awesome. I want to challenge you. What do you spend your time researching? By the way, when you research coronavirus, how much hope is it giving you? Anybody here got it all wired and figured out? Know exactly what's happening? Computed the data from China? All right, didn't think so. Enough about that stuff. Ezekiel 34, verse 25. All right. The good stuff. And I will make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate harmful beasts from the land so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season. They will be showers of blessing. Also, the tree of the field will yield its fruit. The earth will yield its increase, and they will be secure on their land. They will know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bars of the yoke and have delivered them from the hand of those who enslave them. They will no longer be a prey to the nations, and the beasts of the earth will not devour them, but they will live securely, and no one will make them afraid. And I will establish for them a renowned planting place, and they will not again be victims of famine in the land. They will not endure the insults of the nations anymore. Guys, this is it. Man, this is it. This is God's plan. Guess what, man? It's all going to work out. And it's going to be great. He kind of said a little bit of this stuff earlier in the passage, too, because guess what? People have to deal with what they're living with. And you know what? They need a glimpse of good. God gives it to us, man. Hey, this is my plan for you. Soak it up. Those good sheep, you know what they do? They become partakers of a new covenant with God. A superior covenant. They calls that covenant there the covenant of peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And it's interesting because a lot of times we take words and we interpret them through our modern meanings. So when I say the word peace, what most people automatically think of is no war. But that's not what shalom means. Shalom means an inward completeness, a tranquility. That's what shalom means. That covenant is meant for the people to be complete inwardly. That's the covenant that's there. No gaps, no holes, no false bravado. True peace from within. You ever notice that the New Covenant spends a whole lot of time working on what's inside, not what's outside? Because it's a covenant of peace. Completeness. Fullness. Man, that's a great picture. Any one of you guys want to go home with a partial vehicle tomorrow? Would you like a complete one? How do you think the journey to heaven is going to go if you're only focused on a partial internal peace? Stuff missing. Man, that covenant of peace, completeness, wholeness inwardly. Man, what an awesome picture. When we started talking earlier tonight, and we started talking about some of the challenges that we see in the world around. By the way, the United States of America isn't the worst in the suicide list. It's not. Lithuania is. You know what's really weird? The poorer nations, a lot of them, are the lowest on the list. I don't know where Jeff is. Ghana, West Africa is like 134th on the list. The Philippines is like 163. Go get them, Luke. Man, did it answer the questions of some of the challenges that people have? Belonging to something? Some purpose? How about some peace in their life? Man, that's the covenant that God has. Now, I want you to think about you're held captive. Does this message have any impact on you? Your physical body is restrained. Anybody know exactly how good travel is going to be for the populace of the world in the upcoming months? Huh? Papers. Man, we're pretty used to moving around the U.S. pretty good. Guess what? The rest of the world ain't like that, as I've been told. I've been to Canada. All right. Ezekiel 34. We're almost done here. We're going to take a look at the last verses of the chapter. Verse 30 and 31. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And as for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. You dirty, rotten, good-for-nothing, no-good, waste of skin, bag of bones. Is that what he just said? He just went through this whole thing and basically says, look, you are so valuable, man. I went looking for you. We put the scriptures together, and not only did he go looking for us, he paid first for us with the most precious thing that he had, his blood, that good shepherd. Man, what an incredible message. Does it give, man, when he says, I am your God and you are my people. Man, I hope that resonates with you. It does with me. Man, I like to be part of something. And not something that just wastes a little time, but something's for life eternal, that goes beyond forever. The kingdom of God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. We talked about shepherds. We talked about sheep. We talked about a kingdom. Now I want to end here, because I want to remind you that that picture that was given in Ezekiel 34 is the flock of God, his people, those that he rescued. He is going to plant them securely in the pasture lands by the living waters in his mountain. That's the picture. Verse 18. For you have not come to a mountain. Man, this is... Hang on a second. We got to get some light on this thing. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched. You have not come to a mountain that may be touched into a blazing fire, into darkness and gloom and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further words should be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to spirits of righteous men made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. That's a pretty good list of what you've come to. And I want to close out here in verse 28. It says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Fellow sheep, followers of God, that incline your ear to the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, you have come to a kingdom which cannot be shaken, Mount Zion, the city of the living God.